You know, I was out of town on Friday, and we got some rain through here, right? Yeah, some much-needed rain. That's right. Praise God for the rain. Thank you for the rain. But I also believe we had a little storms come through too, didn't we? We had some wind because yesterday Christian and I were out driving around, and we saw some tree limbs down, and we saw some pretty big tree limbs down. And last night as I'm driving around yesterday and we're looking and running our errands and I'm seeing all this damage, I just can't help but think about the storms that just, you know, come in on us. And there was one storm that really made a huge impression on me, and that was back in 1983, and that was Hurricane Alicia. I was living in Houston at the time, and I don't know how many of you remember that storm. I think it was a Category 3 storm. And I remember being there in my apartment complex and being afraid because I didn't know what was going to happen because I'd never been in a hurricane before. And I know that the wind started and the rain started and the rain just kept getting harder and harder and the wind just kept getting stronger and stronger and it didn't seem like it was ever going to give up. It just kept pounding and pounding my apartment complex. And I would look out the window or I'd go outside on my balcony and I would see shingles flying off of buildings all around. I saw trash cans flying. There was all kinds of trash. There was tree limbs. And the destruction was everywhere. And that's something about a storm. A storm will bring destruction with it, but it also brings that much-needed rain that we need. And I just got to thinking about that last night, and I got to thinking about how the storms bring those things, but it brings a lot more. Do you know it brings unity with neighbors? Neighbors come together to help each other out because there's trees that have fallen into their house or cross their cars and they can't get in or out of the house, and so they're helping one another. And you think about the bad tornadoes where neighbor is helping neighbor because everything has been lost and people are giving to them. And then I start thinking about storms of life. And we have all kinds of storms of life. And I don't know about you, but it seems like there's always a storm that's just right there and it's boiling up and it's got the thunderhead and it's a storm of life that's just waiting just to pounce on me. And you may be here this morning and you may be in the midst of a storm. You may be going through a divorce. You may have a child that's on drugs that just can't get off of it. Your spouse may be stepping out on you. You may have a porn addiction. Whatever the storm that's in your life, it's just pounding on you. And it's pounding and it's like that. I like Hurricane Alicia. There was just chaos everywhere and you just feel the chaos and you feel like it's never going to quit. It's just coming and it's not going to give you any relief. And it's just like, what do we do? I read in Scripture, you don't have to turn with me, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. I look over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, rejoice always. I know in 1 Timothy, it says, count everything joy. When? I don't know if you've ever caught that. Count everything joy. When? Because it's coming. That storm is coming, and it's going to be on us before we know it. How do we count it joy? How do we praise God in the midst of a storm? Friday, I lose track of time. I don't know what this, today, Sunday? Okay. This weekend, when we got the storms on Friday, I wasn't in town. I had gone to San Antonio. And I drove through one of those storms that was a white knuckle. Have you ever been there where you're in a white knuckle storm and you're driving, you can't see the lanes in front of you, you don't know where you're at, and there's traffic all around, and you're in a city that you're not familiar with? Have you ever been there? I was there on Friday. Later that afternoon, we were sitting in the cafeteria. We were visiting with Jesse and Marissa's uncle, and Julie and Pam were there. And we were talking about the storms that we drove through to get there. And Julie said, I mean, Pam said something that just hit me. She said, we were in the midst of the storm, and all of a sudden it was clear and it was blue. And I was like, wow. And I think about what she said, and I've thought about it a lot since she said it. And it reminds me of some disciples that find themselves in a boat in the midst of a storm. And this is where we're going to go to this morning. And so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version this morning. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And when they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? And when she said that, that passage just kept ringing over. And isn't that like a life storm? We're in the midst of the life storm, and we just don't see an end to it. We don't know where the end is going to come from. But we need to be able to praise him, because his word says, rejoice always. Count it joy. So how can a believer rejoice in the midst of a storm? And it's by finding the blessings that are in the midst of the storm. And that's where we're going to find our first point, is in verse 25. And that is knowing that Jesus is there. Verse 25, it says, and they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. He's in the midst of the storm that you're in today. He's going to be in the midst of the storm that's lurking right there in front of you, that's going to be coming around the corner. He's going to be there because we know he's going to be there, because his word tells us he's going to be there. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5b. And it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Christ is always going to be with you, even in the midst of the storms. And I can only imagine what these guys were thinking when those waves were coming, because I've been in a boat offshore, out in the ocean. I was probably about 14 years old, and we had been out offshore fishing all day with my grandfather. And we were coming in, and it was late in the day, and we were tired. But we could see this huge thunder boomer over here building, and it was getting bigger and blacker. And it was getting, as we were going towards shore, it was coming, and it looked like we were going to intersect with it. And the closer we got to it, the rougher the seas got, the harder the rain got. And it seemed like it was only like a half a mile in front of us. Of course, when you're in the ocean, I don't know, I can't judge distance, but it seemed really close. A waterspout jumped up in front of us. My grandfather sent me down below. He sent me underneath. He said, you'll be safe down there. But I was down there, and it was just a constant pounding, pounding, pounding of the waves against the boat. And I was afraid, and I went to be with my grandfather because I knew I would find safety with him, because he's always taking care of me. These disciples, they went to Jesus because I believe out of instinct they went to him, because they had been following him. They had trusted him. And when we find ourselves in the midst of that storm, we need to trust him, and we need to go to him, and we need to call on him, because we know he's going to be with us. He is there. This leads us to our second point, knowing Jesus is in control. We find that in verse 26. Verse 26, it says, and he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He had it under control. He was relaxing. He was in the boat. He knew he was going to take care of it. They went to him. Save us. I was texting with Carolyn this weekend, and I told her, it was yesterday morning, and I told her, I said, I keep looking at the disciples, and I see where the disciples, over and over and over, they don't get it. They miss it. They have Christ right in front of them, and they keep missing the point of who he is. And I say, I find myself in the boat with him because he repeatedly has to show me who he is. Just like this weekend with Marissa, he showed me over and over and over who he is. He is in control. When the doctor said she would never be the same, Jesus said, I'm in control. Let's move on into our third point. How can we rejoice in the midst of the storm? We need to believe that Jesus knows the outcome. We see that in verse 27. Verse 27 says, and the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this? Even the winds and the seas obey him. Jesus knew that as soon as he rebuked the wind and rebuked the seas, and he told them to settle down, that they would settle down. He knew the outcome. He knew that when they got in the boat on one side of the sea, that they would get out of the boat on the other side of the sea. I don't know what storm you're in today. I don't know what storm is lurking, just building, ready to come in and wreak havoc in your life. But Christ knows the outcome. He knows how you're going to get through it on the other side. We know this when we look at Jeremiah 29:11. His word tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. In the midst of the storm, when you're like those disciples and all you are seeing is the waves swamping your boat, Christ is there. He is in control. He knows the outcome. And I think that's what we saw this weekend as a body came together. We went to him, and I don't want you to miss that back in verse 25. They went. Not one of them woke. They went. And I think that's important to catch, that they went. We went before the Lord. You may be here this morning, and you may be saying, you know what, I've never seen him show up in a storm. I don't even really know this guy, Jesus, that you're talking to. You might be a mom here this morning going, you know what? My kids are bringing storm after storm after storm, and I need Jesus to get up and calm the storm. Somebody may be in here, and they don't know who he is. God's word tells us in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life is there for you to take and get. We can't get there on our own because we're a sinful people. We're a sinful people and we just can't do it. But because of the work that Christ did on the cross, we can get there. And we can have that comfort of knowing that Jesus is going to be in the boat with us, that he's going to be in control of the situation, and that he's going to know the outcome of it. And I'd just like to give you that opportunity right now just to ask Christ into your life. Because we don't have to do anything. John 3:16 didn't say, God so loved the world that after you do this and that and the other thing that you can know my son. He said, he goes, whoever believes in my son. It's just believing that Christ is God and he's man. It's believing that he died on the cross for our sins. It's believing that on the third day he rose and that he's alive and he's well and he sits at the right hand of God right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.